السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، yesterday with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a few advices were rendered regarding the aspect of rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also know that the first 10 days of Ramadan have been referred to as days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is descending. Therefore, in our du'as that we make, we should make it a habit to constantly request and make du'a for this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding this rahmah, the ulama-i-kiram have given something like 4 tafsirs regarding the meaning of rahmah. So the first tafsir and the first benefit of rahmah is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat is focused on an individual, then that person will get tawfiq ta'at. He'll get the ability to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In yesterday we had mentioned when Allah ta'ala's rahmat is focused on an individual, then how easy it becomes for that person to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first benefit of rahmah in one's life. The second benefit, and this one here we will all be, you know, very happy to hear, is that there'll be an increase in our sustenance. There'll be an increase in our sustenance. We know that a person's sustenance and the barakah and the blessings of the person's sustenance is directly linked to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And vice versa. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إن الرجل لا يحرم الرزق بالذنب يصيبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That an individual is deprived of sustenance due to the sins which he perpetrates and commits. So therefore, when a person commits guna and disobeys the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is actually cutting off and destroying his own sustenance. And on the contrary, when a person obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases that sustenance and increases the barakah in that sustenance. Now when we speak about barakah, so now barakah, the definition of barakah is qaleel kathirun nafa', that the person will have a little, but in that little he'll be able to accomplish a lot. So for example, the person, one individual will have 1,000 rand, but there's no barakah in that 1,000 rand. So suddenly, for argument's sake, or for example, as he's driving, now suddenly there'll be something on the road, and his tire will get damaged. By the time he ends up with the repair bill, it's 1,000 rand gone. So finish. He got the 1,000 rand, but within no time that was totally gone. And the other individual, Allah Ta'ala gave him that 1,000, but Allah Ta'ala put barakah in it. So he will drive, and mashallah, nothing will happen to his vehicle, and he will go. Perhaps he goes to buy something somewhere. Before he can even purchase that thing, somebody says, listen, I got a hadiah for you. I got a gift for you. So he said, well, meet me here. So he goes and meets that person. The very item that he was intending to go and buy, Allah Ta'ala sends it. So we can't understand these aspects, elements of barakah in our student days. So while we were studying, on one occasion we came to visit as Mohanis Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu. So thinking, what gift can we bring and present to Hazrat? So we arrived at his home. I thought, buy some socks. So came to the house while talking. So Hazrat asked, what you brought? Socks? So I said, gee, Hazrat, socks you brought. So he said, I'm just telling Appa now that after this we'll go to the shop because I need to get some socks. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then puts it in the heart of somebody else to provide that particular item. We were just a means for that. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts blessings in the person's life and in the person's sustenance. And suddenly, without him even realizing, Allah ta'ala will send it through a different... So his 1,000 would remain. Allah ta'ala will just send it this way. His 1,000, in fact, he'll get changed afterwards. That person, the 1,000 before he knows is gone. Suddenly the business that happens, this breaks, this goes. Suddenly that thing crashes, the computer system goes down, this happens. Suddenly there's a fine year. His money does this, absolutely no blessings. No, there's a medical bill now. Suddenly he trips and falls and tears a ligament and ends up with a big bill. So this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the barakah and blessings from our sustenance. So when this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused on an individual, then Allah ta'ala increases his sustenance. The third tafsir of rahmah is maghfirat bay hisab. What is this? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive this person without any accountability. Allah ta'ala's forgiveness we can't even understand. But Allah Ta'ala will just continuously forgive this person and forgive this person and forgive this person whenever he slips and makes an error. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters into Jannah without any hisab kitab. Man nuqisha uzziba. Nabi Kareem Sassam said the person who has to go to any kind of accountability on the day of Qiyamah, so then he will most certainly be punished. So this person will be forgiven without any accountability. No hisab kitab. So this is the third tafsir of rahmah. And the final tafsir of rahmat is dukhul jannah. That when Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is focused on the individual, inshallah by virtue of this, the person will eventually enter into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all enter into Jannah directly, inshallah. So these are the tafsir of rahmah. So the respected elders and brothers, in this month of Ramadan, we should continuously make dua. And one beautiful dua to make when we're making istighfar is Rabbi Ghfir Warham Wa Anta Khairul Rahimin. Very, very simple. Sometimes these simple duas, but there's so much of hidden treasures and benefits in it, directly derived from the Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mentioned in the Quran. وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Let's say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my Rabb, O my Sustainer, forgive me and have mercy on me. Ensure that your rahmat is focused on me. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. So during this month of Ramadan, these 10 days and the entire month of Ramadan, make it a habit 100 times, whatever we can. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And of course, this is where we want to commence with the next phase linked to that rahmah, is that we need to ensure that we are not doing anything that's going to prevent this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming in our lives. This is the important thing. And what we mean by that is that we have to put a stop to sins in this month of Ramadan. Until and unless the person doesn't give up sins in the month of Ramadan, you see, shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that shaitan has been tied up. But unfortunately, there's nafs within ourselves. Nabi Kareem Sassam said that the greatest enemy is the enemy that is within. Ulama-i kiram have said that each individual has got two enemies, nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan, these are the enemies that want to drag the person down the gutters of shame, humiliation. He wants him to go to Jahannam. But Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah says that I say that there's only one step to Allah Ta'ala. And that is the nafs. Because he says that if you ask yourself the question, what caused shaitan to go astray? What led shaitan to go astray? It was his own nafs. That he said that why must I prostrate and bow down before that being that has been created from sand? I am created from fire. Fire is more superior than sand. So I'm not going to lower myself before this fire, before the sand. So his own nafs was what caused him to go astray. So he says, if the person gets his nafs under control, then as Musa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, show me an easy way to reach you. Allah ta'ala replied, Da' nafsak wa ta'al. Abandon your nafs and come to me. Just get rid and abandon and leave your nafs behind and you will reach me. So each one of us, especially during the month of Ramadan, this nafs is still with us. It's still alive. And in fact, we should never ever trust this nafs within ourselves. This is an enemy that is waiting to pounce and waiting to attack. If a person knows that he's got an enemy, or there is some, you know, some suspicious individuals down the road or watching his home, how alert he is, how aware he is. Every time he's watching them, phoning the police, phoning the armed response company that there's some suspects here down the road, make sure that check them out, see, watch them. Surveillance cameras, he's watching over that individual, or he's watching for these suspects, seeing what's the next move. Because he knows these look like they may launch an attack, and then all my wealth will be stolen, there may be some injury. So he's constantly monitoring and watching over these individuals. Allah Ta'ala has informed us that we have got an enemy that is within us, and that is our nafs. And therefore we should always be suspicious of this nafs within. Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullah says, O friend, that never trust your nafs, even if you become an abdal and wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you become a wali of Allah ta'ala, never ever trust your nafs. Now during the month of Ramadan, the person said, but Mawlana, mashallah, I don't have any desire. All those desires, everything, alhamdulillah, is all sorted out. So the, alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is conducive to calm the nafs down, to keep the nafs and to allow the nafs to go into hibernation. And that leads us to the next example of Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullah Ali. He says the person, snake catcher, he went into the mountains, freezing cold. And so there he found a huge python that was in hibernation. When the animal, when it's cold, so it becomes lifeless, it goes into hibernation. So he took that python, put it around his neck, and he came down to the village. And he started bragging and showing off to everyone, look at, I'm a snake catcher, snake charmer, I got this python under control. So people got excited, they start gathering to look around, to watch. But now suddenly the rays of the sun began falling on the body of this python. The warmth and the heat of the sun started being absorbed by the body of this python. And now the python slowly started to move. So he says, as soon as the python started moving, the first person to run was the snake catcher himself. He ran for his life. Next example, but subhanAllah, what a beautiful example and what a lesson. He said the nafs is like that. That during the month of Ramadan, the person had a lot of bad habits, a lot of bad ways. But now, mashallah, the dhikr of Allah, the mahal, shaitan has been chained. So now that nafs goes into hibernation. But now, sometimes even in the month of Ramadan, if that nafs is exposed to some of that heat of the fire of Jahannam, that heat that is found in sins and guna, we must remember that every single sin and guna is directly linked to the fire of Jahannam. It is linked to the fire of Jahannam. That is the main head office of every guna and sin, the fire of Jahannam. So that's why in the fire of Jahannam, people are restless. People have anxiety. And that is why in every single sin, there will be nothing but restlessness and anxiety. Always be restlessness and anxiety. So now when that person experiences some of that heat from that fire of Jahannam in that sin, during the month of Ramadan too, then suddenly the person falls. And especially after Ramadan now, when the environment again opens up and the atmosphere again is towards guna and sins, towards entertainment and towards heedlessness, then again the person's nafs springs back to life and causes the person to go astray. So therefore we should be extremely cautious with regards and suspicious with regards to our nafs. In this month of Ramadan specifically, all effort should be made, more effort should be made on abstention from sins than even performing extra ibadat. A person, once again, the person wakes up for tahajjud, makes tilawat of Quran Sharif, gives charity, makes khidmat, alhamdulillah, very, very good. But if the person is not giving up sins, then unfortunately, he's not really fulfilling the true purpose and goal of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. So therefore now, as this week has commenced again, some of us will be returning to our workplaces, we'll be returning to those environments. Sometimes the person is working in a company that is a non-Muslim company. So for him, the environment hasn't changed because things will still continue the way they were continuing before. So now he has to be more wary now that now it's the month of Ramadan. Those sins that I was committing previously with regards to being, you know, totally free, with regards to the opposite gender, I need to now control myself during the month of Ramadan. Control my eyes, control my gaze. Because it is the month of Ramadan, I will be losing out. I'll not be really benefiting from this month of Ramadan if I will continue committing those sins that I used to previously commit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to completely give up sins and get rid of sins from our lives so that we can experience the true tranquility and serenity and the closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.